a lot of people. You guys know the trick for high fives, right?
Yeah, Josh.
You look at their elbow. Just look at their elbow and you can't miss. It's like magic. It's like, go backwards? Oh, that's the trick? We looked terrible right there. All right. Dude, you guys. Okay, so clearly you guys are capable of giving high fives. So go see Ty after that. Another thing, you know, you never get too old for Disneyland, right? Like you do not get too old for Disneyland. So if you're sitting out there right now and you're like, hey, dude, I don't like princesses, all right? I don't want to go to Disneyland. Okay, have you heard of Indiana Jones, the most manly man ever? Okay. Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates are scary. All right, you can go. You're not too cool. It's going to be fun. I am sacrificing for you guys, and I'm going to go twice. Just because I love you. Sacrifice, please. Feel bad for me. Just joking, don't. It's kind of one of those perks of the job things. How you guys doing this morning? Tomorrow, you get like a free day off tomorrow. That is awesome. Come in here and hang out. We'll be here hanging tonight. Don't tell your parents I told you this, but you do not have to go to bed at any certain time, okay? You go to bed whenever you want, like 2 a.m., do it, all right? Just don't tell your parents. Unless your parent is in here right now, then go to bed when they tell you. But otherwise, everybody else, go whenever you want. Hey, we're in a three-week series. We're in week number two of a three-week series that we're doing called Almost Christian. So here's what I want. If you were not here last week, let me give you a real quick recap of what we talked about, okay? There are kind of in our culture, in the Western American culture, there's these ideas that a lot of people have that are popular, whether people are Christians or not Christians, of what it means to be a Christian and some of the beliefs that we have about God and about what it means to follow Jesus. And so what we're doing for 3 weeks is we're just kind of looking at some of those things and we're going, hey, wait, amongst that popular belief, there's a couple of things that we're looking at going, that doesn't line up. Wait, that doesn't seem right. And actually, when we look at the Bible, it teaches the opposite of what are some popular thoughts on Christian, on what it means to be a Christian. So last week we talked about this idea that God loves good people and God wants us to be a good person, right? And we talked about how actually that's not really true. But what we like to do a lot of times is we like to picture life sometimes almost as a scale, right? Like we like to weigh things between good and bad. And really what you have to do to go to heaven is actually do more good things than bad things, right? We got to keep that scale tipped more good than bad. Like, dude, if you do something bad, you need to do like two things good. Like make that scale tip back over to the good side, right? Like we want to be, because when we're good, God loves us. When we're doing good things and living the way that God wants us to, that's when God loves us. Is that true?
No.
No, not at all. I mean, that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. The good news is that you and I are really messy people. And we have some struggles, and we have this thing called sin in our lives that separates us from God. But the good news is that God loves us despite that. And God pursues that. That's why I like that last song that we just sang. Your love is relentless. There's this sense that God's love is relentless. Like it doesn't stop. There's no like, well, I love you up until this point. And then once you hit that point, it's like, oh, I don't really love. Like God loves you as much as he could possibly love you. He loves you more than we will ever know. He proved that when he sent his son to the cross, right? So you can't earn God's love. There's nothing you can do that is good enough to where God's going to go, that was good. I love you a lot right now. That's not true. God already loves you as much as he possibly can. And today we're going to tackle another myth. The myth that God wants you to be happy. Like, wait a second. What are you saying? God doesn't want me to be happy? Like, okay, this sounds weird, but I don't think God's really concerned with your happiness. That's a hard statement because we live in a culture that kind of idolizes happiness, right? We live in a culture that is really concerned with and talks a lot about, you just need to be a happy person. Do whatever you could do to be happy. But I don't think God's concerned about your happiness. Now, we're going to talk about what I think God is concerned about, and it's way bigger than just happiness, and it's actually way better. I think God has, he wants way more for your life than for you just to be happy, because if we are worried just about being happy people, then we're going to fall way short. We're not going to experience God's full scope of what it means to live in Christ. Now, the opposite of that, when I say God doesn't care about your happiness, the opposite of that is it almost is like, so does God want me to be sad? Yes. No, I'm just joking. That's not true. Don't be sad. No, that's not what God wants for you to be sad. Could you imagine that? If, like, as Christians, we were just like, God doesn't care about your happiness, so just be sad all the time. That would be the worst evangelism technique ever. Everybody that goes to school is like this. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm sad. Why? What's wrong? Jesus. I love him. Do you want to love him too? Is that normal? Mm-hmm. All the time. No, I don't want to do that either. I don't want in on that. Why? It's awesome. Worst technique ever. God doesn't want you to be sad. He doesn't just want you to be happy, though. He wants you so much more. So today what we're going to talk about is this idea of happiness versus joy. What is happiness and what is joy? Because I think happiness is this fleeting feeling. Happiness is a moment-by-moment emotion feeling, right? You guys, we can go from happy to sad in a second. Right? You could go, like, for instance, okay, yesterday for lunch, maybe it's just me. Do you guys get excited about food ever? Like, good food? You're like, oh. Okay. So yesterday, here it comes. I'm at Chipotle. See? I'm not the only one. Look at me. Okay. Look at it. That is a chicken burrito with, like, hot sauce and guacamole. That is what we like to call a little piece of heaven in your hands, okay? Like, that is the way that we know that God is good, is because Chipotle burritos. We look at those and we go, God, you are good. I am happy right there, right? Like, in that moment, I'm eating that burrito and I'm like, this is good. I'm happy. I could eat this forever. Like, do you guys ever eat something and then after you eat it, you're like, that was so good, I could eat another one, even though I am extremely full, and my body will hate me, but I'll eat another. Like, I didn't do it, don't worry. But in that moment of eating that Chipotle burrito, I was happy, so happy. It was kind of weird, though, taking a selfie of yourself eating a burrito. You get some weird looks. People are, like, looking at you're like. Guy next to you is like, what in the heck? What, you don't take a picture of yourself eating? I have fans, okay? I didn't say that. That'd be so weird. I was so happy. But happiness is a fleeting feeling. Because what follows happiness after eating a Chipotle burrito is this. Right here. Right? Weird, huh? Awkward. Everybody's like, okay, this is awkward. Don't worry, I did not actually go to the bathroom after the Chipotle burrito. I just thought it was funny. I was like, this will totally work in my sermon illustration. The point is, though, is that our happiness is a moment-by-moment thing, right? Like, what is it for you that makes you happy? What is it for you that brings you happiness? It might be video games, right? Guys, like, video games. Girl's like, no! Okay. Can I admit something? I'm a little bit ashamed of this, but I feel like I need to be honest and transparent with you guys. Can I admit something?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a 33-year-old man that likes to play video games. I'm in a moment of, like, sharing, like being vulnerable, and you guys aren't supposed to cheer that. You're supposed to go, shame on you! No, actually, I like it. So, but I just got a brand new video game system for Christmas. I haven't played video games in a long time, but my wife finally caved in and got me an Xbox 360. Yes! I know, I didn't get the new ones. I don't need the new stuff. I just I play FIFA, the soccer game. And I swear, you guys, it's sad. I score a goal and I do a dance. I get excited. I get happy. I score a goal, I'm so glad. I only play when my kids are in bed and when my wife's in bed. So nobody sees me playing, which is a good thing. So I score a goal and I'm like, "Woo! What's up? Yeah, what's up?" Okay, that's weird. Sit down, Josh. You are old and you need to stop doing that. But if video games bring you happiness, it's only a fleeting thought, right? I don't have any happiness right now because of a goal I scored 3 days ago or a game I beat or any of that. Or maybe you find your happiness in something else. Maybe we find our happiness in a guy or a girl. And does that guy like me? Because if he likes me, I am so happy. But then as soon as he's moved on, you're like, ah! You move from happiness to mourning and sadness and oh. But whatever it is, we kind of try to find our happiness in things sometimes, right? But the thing is that those things never fully satisfy us, no matter how much we like them. Today we're going to talk about not happiness, but joy. Because the myth is that God exists to keep us and help us be happy people. That's kind of one of God's roles. For us to be happy people. My son, you guys know those little Pez dispensers? This guy right here, I brought this. This is Mike Wazowski from Monsters University. My kids like that, they love that right now. You guys, they love Pez, and they know, and I don't know why we have a plethora. I just said plethora, that means a lot of Pez in our pantry, and I don't know why, but actually I do. Some friends bought us a whole bag of Pez, and I'm like, ah! These little things are so good, right? The little Pez candy? Yeah, here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. These are so good. Sometimes what we do, though, I feel like we almost view God as a Pez dispenser of happiness. This Pez dispenser brings me happiness every time I open it and there's candy in it. Ah. But we view God as this dispenser of happiness. God, I just ran out. I need some more happiness. Can you give me that? Yeah, sure, what do you want? But that's not who God is. He doesn't just dispense happiness to us so that we can be happy people. But it's this idea of joy. What is the difference between happiness and joy? Well, happiness, like I said, is an emotion that goes from moment to moment to moment. But joy is this thing that we get when we place our hope in Jesus and Jesus alone. And we talked about this last week. We talked about the fact that God loves you more than you will ever know. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who made the mountains and the seas, the God who created everything. He made you and he made me and he knit us together in our mother's wombs, and we are beautifully and wonderfully made, and he knows the number of heads on our, or the number of hairs on our head, the number of heads on your neck. He knows that. It's incredible. God, you are so smart. I bet you know how many arms I have too. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He's numbered that. And God knows everything about us. There's nothing that is hidden from him. There is no thought that you have. There is no desire that you have. There is nothing that's hidden from him. He knows everything, which for me is a really scary thought. What? You know everything about me, God? Everything? And he still loves me. And last week we talked about this problem with sin and what it does and how it separates us from God, but how God, in his deep love for us, sent his son into the world to die on a cross for us because he loves us. Because he didn't like the thought, the idea that we would be eternally separated from him. He was like, no, that doesn't work for me. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my most precious thing, which is my son, to go and take your sin that you have. Remember when he talked about the wages of sin? He says, what you've deserved, what you've earned, he's going to take that from you, even though he doesn't deserve it. He's going to take that from you, and he's going to have it. He's going to die on the cross for you so that you can have everlasting life. Now, that is where I get my hope. That is what brings me joy. Because when we put our joy and we have our hope in that, the fact that God loves me and he sent his son and I have life through his son, when that is my hope and I have bad days, because you're gonna have bad days. You guys know that, right? Junior high, 7th and 8th grade. Like, do we have bad days? Yes. Heck yeah, we do. And I have bad days. And it doesn't stop. But even in those hard times, even in those days where it's tough or we're having a tough time, we can still have joy. We can still have joy because we look at the cross and we go, that's where my hope is. Not in video games or Chipotle burritos or whatever it is you find your hope in or whatever you look for happiness, but instead my hope is over there in the cross. In John 15, if you have a Bible, open up to John 15. This is Jesus talking. And Jesus gives this analogy of the vine. He gives us an analogy of a vine and some branches. And this is what he says. And he's saying, listen, if you want to have true joy, if you want to have joy, which is much deeper and richer than just the happiness of fleeting thought, but if you want joy, here's what you do. I'm going to start. Let's see. Oops, I went the wrong way. My Bible keeps turning. John 15. I'm gonna go to verse 5, and I'm going to read a few verses here. Jesus says this. He's talking about himself. He says, I am the vine. He says, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, in Galatians, Paul lays out what the fruit of the Spirit are, right? And joy was one of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-respect. He says, those are the fruit that you see. Like when you're following and living with Jesus and you're following him and the Holy Spirit is in us and what happens is we start to have these characteristics, love, joy. But he says joy is one of them. He says, so you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into a fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now listen to what Jesus says. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Our joy is complete when we remain, he says, if you remain in me. If we put our faith and our hope in Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us, that's where we get joy. And that's why I say that God isn't so concerned with your happiness. Because happiness is something that comes and goes and we feel it and then we're sad and then we're happy and then we're angry and then we're frustrated and then we're happy. But through all those times, if we remain following Jesus and figuring out what life looks like, just trusting him, if we can do that, we're going to have this thing called joy, which is so much better. God doesn't want us to have this like little half life, right? He's not like, oh, I just want you to have kind of a good life. He wants us to have the best life. He wants us to have life to the full. Now, having the best kind of life doesn't always mean having the easiest life, right? Like it doesn't just mean like, oh, if you remain in Jesus, life is going to be easy and good and you're never going to have a bad day again. That's totally false. You will have a bad day. But under that, you will have this thing called joy. The disciples, all through the New Testament, you read that. But the disciples, I mean, they experienced this time and time again, right? If you read towards the end of Acts in the book of Acts chapter 5, there's this one scene where you have Peter and he's getting thrown in jail, right? So here's Peter and the disciples, and they're getting thrown in jail. And the reason they're getting thrown in jail is because they keep going out into the main area of the synagogues, and they're like, Jesus is the way. They're trying to tell people about Jesus and that their hope is in him and that they should put their hope in Jesus too. And they keep preaching Jesus, and they're making a big commotion. And the authorities don't like that. So what do? They throw them in jail. And then they break out. When they get out of jail, they keep talking about Jesus. And then it says that the authorities take them and they beat them. And what did Peter say? How did he respond? He was like, oh, I count it as a great joy that I get to suffer for the name of Christ. Wait a second, Peter, you're crazy. What? I just try to picture that, like he's getting beat, like enjoying it. Can you guys picture that? Just imagine, right? Like, this isn't me. Don't try this on me because I won't respond this way. And I actually don't think Peter responded this way, but I'm just trying to think about it. Like, Peter's like, hey, y'all, you should believe in Jesus. That was awesome. No, seriously, follow Jesus. Oh, that was a good one. That was cool. I like this. And I beat him. Oh, he's like, oh, you missed it. Try here, right in the knee. That one really hurts. Like, I don't think that's what Peter meant, right? He wasn't taking punches or taking, like, getting beat, just like, ha-ha, this is awesome. But there was so much more than that for him. It was that his hope was in Jesus. And he was like, gosh, I know what Jesus went through. And to think that I could even kind of simulate and go through some of the stuff he's going through, but do it in his name, and hopefully people are going to put their hope in him as a result of what's happening here. And Peter was not happy in those times, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's my guess. The Bible doesn't say that, but I'm guessing. Peter probably wasn't excited about getting beat up. But his hope was in something so much deeper and greater. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we're going to memorize a Bible verse tonight, okay? You guys cool with that, or this morning? You want to memorize Bible verses? It's really good. If you can memorize Bible verses, here's why it helps you. It's just in some hard times, sometimes it's like, oh, you know what? I need to go back to this. Well, we're going to do that. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I want you to repeat after me, okay? Here we go. Just, you don't even worry about your Bibles. You don't even need it, because you're going to repeat after me and we're going to memorize it. Ready? Be joyful. Always. Good job. That's it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful. Always. Be joyful always. It doesn't say be happy all the time, because nobody likes that person. You know what I'm talking about? I think they all work at Starbucks. Hi! Welcome! You want some coffee? You're like, dude, it is 5 a.m. What are you doing? It's like always happy. Good morning. You're crazy. The Bible doesn't say be happy always, but it says be joyful always, only because our hope and our joy is found in Jesus. Because God loves you, and he sent his son Jesus into the world so that we could have life and have it to the full. So that we could have this beautiful relationship with God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth. And my hope for you as a 7th and 8th grader is that you start to learn that now. That if you chase happy feelings and you chase these happy emotions, that I can tell you, and I don't like to say this a lot, but I can just tell you, like, I've lived for, gosh, like over 33 years. I've learned really the hard way. I've been let down so many times by chasing things that make me happy. And the only thing that has lasted is Jesus. For me personally, my relationship with him, and the fact that I know that he loved me so much to go to a cross for me. That's the only thing that's lasted over this time. Everything else that I've chased to make me happy has just let me down. And God wants so much more for you than just to be happy. He wants you to experience joy and hope. So if you would just learn that now as a 7th and 8th grader and start to figure that out and just try, like, it's hard. But just remember, joy. Joy. God desires for you to be a joyful person, not a happy person. You guys pray with me. God, you are good to us. I'm so glad, God, that there's more to life than happy feelings, and that I don't have to worry about chasing happy stuff, because, God, I know that that's eventually going to let me down, and it's going to let us down. But, God, I know that your Son is faithful, and that we will not be let down when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus, because he is good. And so, God, I pray that we would learn that now, that we would trust you, trust Jesus, that we would abide in you, that we would be the branches plugged into the vine. God, so that we can experience joy and begin to grow in this. And so, God, that's my prayer for these students, that you would do that, that you would help, that you just help us with that. We need help, we admit that. But help us to understand joy and not chase the happy things in life. God, you are so, so good to us. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.